الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله غني وأنتم الفقراء سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The vast majority of effort that human beings make is towards accumulating what they consider to be important. SubhanAllah, if you wake up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and you just stand by the highway, and you see the number of cars that are headed towards downtown and the number of cars that are coming back from Chicago, it's never ending. It's just a trail of cars. Car after car after car. Thousands of cars can pass you by, and there's still another thousands and thousands more coming down the road. And SubhanAllah, that's just one freeway. Then you look at all the different freeways in Chicago, all the roads and how they're packed. People are constantly moving from place A to place B. Then beyond that, you go to the train stations, you go to the bus stops, you go to the airport. It's lines and lines of people traveling. Why? Because each person is trying to seek what they feel to be important. For the most part, the travelers, at least on the weekdays, they are people who are seeking to obtain some degree of wealth. So they travel for their jobs. They know that if they get to point B from point A, that they'll earn a particular amount of money, or they might be able to close a particular deal, or they might be able to open up some new market. But in the end, the goal is the same. Money. Some degree of wealth. They want to obtain wealth. And this is what human beings, this is what they make their effort towards. SubhanAllah, unfortunately, that's even what most college students are also making their effort for. There was a day when knowledge was important. No longer is knowledge important. People go to college, people go to high school, people go to graduate school. They're not interested in knowledge. Very few people. I've been there. Very few people are sincerely interested in knowledge. Most people are interested in the degree. And the reason they're interested in the degree is because the degree translates into a certain amount of wealth. They know that if they earn their MBA, they can get a $100,000, $200,000 job. They know they can earn X amount of wealth, and with that wealth, they'll be able to purchase the goods of this life. And this is the way by which we judge one another. And that's also the unfortunate fact. We look at who has more and who has less, who drives what, who lives where. And then we add all of that up, and then we begin to rank one another. This brother has money. This brother does not have money. It exists among the non-Muslims. In fact, it's what they circle around. It's their qibla. And for the Muslims, it exists now in this day and age because we've also turned our face away from our qibla, and we've turned it towards their qibla. Their qibla is basically economics. They face the direction of economy, and they work in order to earn the wealth of their economies. Now, what's amazing and what's so ajeeb is that after all of this effort and after all of this distinction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes the whole thing out in one statement. Ajeeb. And so ironic. Here we have spent so much time. What are we, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old? We spent time doing what? Building our bank accounts, building our property, developing assets, seeking out the car that we like to drive, the clothes we like to wear, the house we like to live in, and we created a certain status for ourselves, and we spent our whole life differentiating ourselves in that status. I want to move up to this level. I want to be able to do this with my wealth. I want to have this much in my account. We spent our whole life separating ourselves according to wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one phrase, He wipes the whole thing out. 60 years of effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eliminates it in one statement. Allahu ghani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wealthy one. Wa antumul fuqara. And all of you are poor. Subhanallah. The wealthy amongst the wealthy. And the poor, the most poor person according to their monetary means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just takes all of them, lumps them into one category, and just in one simple phrase says, wa antumul fuqara. All of you guys are poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wealthy, and that makes all of you poor. So there it goes. All of the effort that turns the globe around on a daily basis, communication, travel, effort, all the degrees, all the knowledge earned, everything that was done to earn all of this wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flattens it. Flattens it in one moment by making it very clear that wealth does not lie in the goods of this life. Wealth lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the wealthy, and everybody else, no matter what they have in their possession, is among the poor. So what does that teach us? It teaches us that there's actually a second type of wealth. The first type of wealth are these foolish toys that people chase after. These are toys. These are toys. Now you look at children, what do? They buy these doll homes, and then they pretend to build up the doll home, and they park a car in that home, and they dress up the doll a certain way, and then they consider that to be some sort of reality. Right? In their mind, they create this fake reality. It's just a toy. It's the same thing with us. When we're 20, 30, 40, each stage of our life, our attention goes to some other gadget, some other flashing light, some other false vanity. We turn our attention towards it. We start working for it as if there is some permanence in it. And what ends up happening? It's just a toy. It doesn't become obvious to us then. It becomes obvious 10 years later. Now you go back and think about your life. When you were 5, a piece of gum was the most important thing. When you're 7, some stick figure made of plastic is the most important thing. When you're 12, then some video game is the most important thing. When you're 30, some car is the most important thing. And at each level, the only thing that you learn as you pass that level is not that you obtained something and now you're going to get the next stick figure or the next car or the next this. The only thing that comes out of it is you begin to recognize what a fool I was back then. What was I chasing? What was I wasting my time doing? Right? Where did I spend my life? Where did I spend my true wealth, which was my time? The only reality that continuously comes out of our efforts is that none of this is permanent, and it is all just a false vanity. Shining our cars and developing our homes, and all of this is going to pass. The only home you have is the home in your grave, and that will determine what your home will be in the Akhirah. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. Rather, you prefer the life of this world, but actually the hereafter is much better and it's permanent, as opposed to this world, which has no permanence within it. So there is nothing here that we can obtain. So this was one degree of wealth that we chase after. What we wear, how we dress, etc. And that is a type of wealth in the minds of human beings, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He flattens that concept completely. And instead highlights that there is another type of wealth, and that is the wealth that lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that He is the most wealthy. Now what is also being taught to us in this ayah is that actually wealth lies in pursuing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, I'll give you a famous story from our history. I don't know if it's true or false, but it highlights the point. There was once this king, and this king happened to be married to more than one wife. Now, he tried his best, and within the means of the Sharia, he treated each wife equivalently. But within his heart, he had a particular affection towards one wife more than the others. So the other wives became jealous. Now when the other wives became jealous, they went to the king and they said, "Why do you treat her so differently? What's so special about her that your heart is so much more attached to her than all the other wives? She's not any more beautiful than us. She doesn't have any more wealth than us. She's just like the rest of us." So the king said, "You just wait and see. I'll show you why." So he then, a few days later or some time later, commanded all of his important people in his court to bring his most valuable assets. So they brought jewels, they brought gold, they brought whatever valuables this king owned. They put it all in one room. The king called all of the wives into that room. And he said, all of this is for you. And each of you can simply put your hand on whatever you feel is the most valuable thing in this room. And whatever you put your hand on will be yours. So all of the wives, they ran. Each one person put their hand on the diamond. The other person put their hand on some big chest of gold, whatever it might have been. And the one wife who he had the most who he had the most loved for, she didn't move at all. Okay, now she just stood there. And when she stood there, the other wives, they started laughing and they started explaining to the king, see, we were telling you the whole time that this wife is not anything special. She doesn't even understand. Here we are. All of us have selected something valuable in this room and she just stands there. She hasn't done a thing. So then she said, so after that discussion was over, she said to the king, can I choose anything in this room? So he said, yes, you can choose anything. So she went and she put her hand on the king's shoulders. So then the king said to them, see, she actually is the most understanding of you because why? Not only did she get the king, but then also all of the wealth that was the king's anyway, it all came into her possession as well. Right? So in the same way, but on a much, much grander scale, in the end, the one who is wealthy is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can run around this world and we can place our hands on all of these different things, claiming it to be part of the deen and claiming that our efforts are not really for these things, but then in our hearts we pursue them. So one person puts their hand on their degree, one person puts their hand on their car, one person puts their hand on their house, right? One person puts their hand on the way they dress, and then these are the things we pursue. But actually, the thing to be pursued is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person pursues Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they receive two types of wealth. The first wealth is that they learn to become sufficient on whatever Allah gives them. That's wealth. Look, let me tell you something. Everybody has desires. But those desires, they have no ends. As human beings, we have needs. And we have desires. We need to eat three times a day. We desire to eat biryani or whatever food that you like from your culture with this particular type of drink, with this particular type of spice. That's our desire. It's beyond what we really need. We would sustain ourselves on our needs, but we have desires. Desires never end. Fulfill a person his desires, and then the next desire arises. And it comes up as our own lives. I mean, subhanAllah, when people are in high school, they say that, man, if I had $1,000, I'd be the happiest person in the world. I don't need anything more than $1,000, right? So then they get $1,000 when they're in college. Man, I just need $10,000. I can buy that car. I'll never want anything else ever again, I swear. So they get that $10,000. Now, if I just had $100,000, I would buy that house. And that's it. I would be so content. This house, that's all I need. I'm done. They get the house. Then the next thing is they need $1 million. Desires never end. You feed them, they grow. They are never filled. They are never satiated. They continually develop. They're like a cancer. You know a cancer? It just keeps growing, growing, growing. It doesn't stop. It's the same thing. That's how desires are made. So the person who has desires will never be fulfilled. The man who has $1 billion looks for $2 billion. And the man who has $2 billion looks for four, and he's day and night sweating about how he's going to make $4 billion. And we think, subhanAllah, if I just had that much money, I would just be content. I wouldn't care about anything. That's not true. Because if you had that much money, your desires would be that much bigger. And you would end up chasing your tail until you go into your grave. There is no end to these desires. So there is no wealth in that. There is no richness in that. There is no finality in that attitude. Actually, where wealth lies is when an individual becomes happy with whatever Allah gives them. That's true wealth. That's contentness of the heart. Where they say, subhanAllah, Allah gave me this within my means. This is halal. I enjoy this. SubhanAllah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving this to me. It came from Allah. And because it came from Allah, I am more than content with it. That's the true value. When a person begins to see that the whole world is actually run by Allah, that when something comes to you, it comes from Allah. When you're eating every morsel that you eat, it's actually a gift from Allah. So instead of thinking, I would rather eat this, you say, no, I enjoy this because this is what Allah sent me for lunch on this particular day. This is what Allah sent me to drink for dinner on this particular day. It's a whole different way of looking at life. And actually, that's where contentment lies. Because in the end, that's where the true reality of life is. And that is that the pleasure of Allah. So long as I am the servant of Allah, if He makes me the king of all kings, or if He makes me the servant of the king, it makes no difference because I am a servant of Allah. When that settles in a human being, then they are content, and that is true wealth. That's when the vastness of heart develops, and that's when a human being becomes a true human being, focused on what they were designed to be focused on, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now subhanAllah, when an individual becomes a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, develops a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what ends up happening? The same way that wife put her hand on the shoulder of that king, and ended up not only getting the king and his love, but also all of his treasure, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create this treasure for himself. He has no need for this treasure. It does not change him in any way, shape, or form. He is the supreme of the supreme, and he remains that way. So actually, what ends up happening is that treasure falls into the pocket of the one who believes. Now you look at the Muslims who truly believed and what they were able to achieve. The whole world was at their feet. They became so wealthy. They earned all of this land. They earned all of this respect. Not because they desired it, but because they desired Allah. In Allah's pleasure, they fought and they sought. And when they did so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dumped upon them the toys of this world. Because they mean nothing. They're just the false vanities anyway. And the Muslims were smart enough, despite having all of that, to recognize that it was still just a state from Allah. In the beginning, we had no food. We used to go hungry from two times, three times a day. Alhamdulillah. Now we're able to fill our stomachs. It's still from Allah. Alhamdulillah. But see, that's the attitude. It's about Allah. That's what this deen is about. That's what this life is about. That's what our existence is about. We get caught up in so many other things, and they become so important. They become so real. We start thinking that, well, the way I dress, it's so real. Or the way this person thinks about me, it's so real. Actually, what Allah thinks about us is what's real. That's what matters. What does my Lord think about me? Am I trying to please my Lord? Have I made the distinct effort in my life to walk upon the footsteps of the one that pleased his Lord? That's where the reality of life lies. So don't chase after these vanities. And don't worry about the opinions of the people who do so. So many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do not worry about the marchings of the people who don't believe in Him throughout the earth. It's all false. There is no reality to it. The only thing that is real is Allah. He is permanent. Everything else is passing. And His reward is lasting. Everything else will disappear. So make Allah the focus of your lives. Wake up in the morning, do it with Alhamdulillah. Think about the fact that I have to please Allah. How am I going to use the next 12 hours to win over His pleasure? Now you look, people when they want to win over someone, they make every effort in the world to do so. Somebody has a boss, they want to please that boss at work, they work hard in order to do as much as they can to make that boss happy. And they're always asking themselves, is my boss happy? Is my boss happy? Oh, my boss, he didn't smile at me when I passed by the door, right? Or somebody tries to win over the heart of their spouse. Or they try to win over the heart of their teacher. Whatever it might be, in the end, that's the way we should be facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily. After every prayer, we should ask, have I won over the pleasure of my Lord? If not, let me take out whatever little wealth I have left in my pocket and let me dump it in the box for sadaqah, because if that's what it takes to win over the pleasure of my Lord, it's worth it. It's cheap. $5,000 to win over the pleasure of one's Lord is cheap. It is so cheap because there is nothing more valuable than that. So you have to think about, where do we spend our wealth? Where do we spend our time? Where is our heart turned? Allah really looks at that heart, right? We could back it up with all of these deeds and they can be empty, but in the end, Allah goes right to the heart of the matter, which is our hearts. And where they're turned is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns back to us. A man or woman's heart who's deeply attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has swept away the filth of the life of this world and made their purpose the pleasure of the one who will remain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that person near to him and elevates that person in rank and creates within that person wealth beyond what the richest of the rich can imagine. And for them is the reward in the grave when it expands on the day of their death, and that will last all the way up until the hereafter, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them beyond their wildest dreams. Beyond your wildest dreams. One cannot even begin to imagine the treasure that lies in the hand of the one who created us. So make your focus Allah. Think about the fact that you live for the sake of Allah. And it's because of Allah. And it's Allah who sustains us. It's Allah who nourishes us. And it's Allah who will cause us to grow. And so it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we aim to please. Don't get caught up. It's so easy. These lights are so bright and they flash and they look so real, and you put your hand out there and you feel like you're about to grab it. But in the end, there's nothing there. It's just a mirage. You just put your hand on there and you try to grab it, but there's nothing to take. There's no reality there. That peace doesn't arrive. That happiness does not arise. Ask anyone. People who have achieved what you do, what you have made in your mind as your life goal, go and sit with them and ask them, are you happy? You will find that they are not happy. Now, go and sit with the people who have made their goal Allah, and Allah alone, and you will find in them pleasure. You will find in them contentment. You will find in them peace and tranquility that exists no place else. Because actually, they have fulfilled what the natural desire of a human being is. And that is to explore the depth of Allah's greatness. We are explorers. Put a human being in ground, he will dig in the ground and find something new. Put a human being in front of a computer, he will program that computer to produce something unique. Put a human being in front of some other unique piece of object, and he will develop it into something that we could not even imagine would be produced. Put a human being's heart in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn it towards him, and make him one who explores his Lord, and he will begin to achieve heights in iman that no one can even begin to fathom. We are explorers. The question is what we explore. We will explore. Now, in this day and age, people explore the ground and science and the earth and the sky and the heavens, the blood vessels, the veins, the cells, DNA, RNA, everything's been explored. It's not that we were ignorant before and we just didn't recognize these things. We always recognize these things, but our scholars were so drowned in exploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they didn't pursue these other things because they were so deep in their remembrance of Allah. So put your heart towards Allah. Put your mind towards Allah. Put your time towards Allah, your wealth towards Allah, your efforts towards Allah, your relationship towards Allah, and then become a person of Allah. These are the awliya Allah. And for them, there is no fear on the day of judgment. They just enter into Jannah directly because that is the status of the awliya. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who recognize the false vanities of this life, to be among those who turn away from these vanities and approach them only to the necessity that is present as our needs exist, and to be among those who constantly seek the pleasure of their Creator, their sustainer, and the one who provides for them both in this life and the one who will ultimately provide for them with permanence in the hereafter.